What is going on? Thank you for tuning in to the MMA Podcast, episode 223, Wednesday, March 21st, 2018. I can tell you from the bat, this is not going to be the longest episode. It's kind of been a little bit of a lull in the MMA news. We had this past weekend's event, UFC London. Wasn't the deepest card, but we are going to break that down. But as far as the, you know, the news landscape, not too much coming down the pipe, and we have no cards actually until or at least no UFC cards until UFC 223. Well, little bit I think of ONE FC, Invicta, stuff like that. But UFC 223 will be a huge card. Looking forward to breaking that down. But that'll probably be next episode. This episode, like I mentioned, UFC London, a little bit of news. But before we get to it, as always, introduced the, I was going to say the beast from the east, but that'd be incorrect because he's on the West Coast. Pat, what's going on?
Best of the West.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, yes. Oh, Jake, it is a wonderful Wednesday. Always a pleasure to be back here with you doing the MMA podcast, episode 223. My goodness. Yeah, UFC London, not the biggest names on the card, but some good action. Looking forward to breaking that down with you. And, yeah, the light dusting of news we got to go over. More of an MMA chat this Wednesday as opposed to a full-blown podcast like we're normally doing. But so goes the news cycle.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing that I've been seeing two guys' names pop up over and over and over: Floyd Mayweather, CM Punk. CM Punk. I guess the news is that we will hear an opponent soon, but he will be fighting at UFC 225. I believe that'll be in Chicago in June. Heard a few names being thrown out. I've heard Michael Jackson, no, not that one, but the Mike Jackson guy who I think fought Mickey Gall and was slated to fight CM Punk. I forget exactly what happened, but CM Punk I think called Mike Jackson a can, and you know, he would be an ideal opponent just because it would be a winnable fight for CM Punk. Another opponent that I've heard thrown around and kind of has come out of the blue is Floyd Mayweather, which Floyd fought Conor in boxing, beat Conor. I don't think there's any reason to discuss Floyd fighting Conor in MMA because Conor wouldn't just beat him. He would injure him probably pretty badly. He would savage him. But Floyd Mayweather versus someone like CM Punk, I think that would make a lot more sense. Floyd saying ridiculous things in the news, like he's been training MMA and training with Woodley, and now he's a 7 out of 10 in wrestling, which the idea that Floyd could, in such a short amount of time, even be a 3 out of 10 in wrestling. Like, he is a 0 out of 10 in wrestling. That is, unless he has been training wrestling for years in secret behind our backs and no one knows about it. Wrestling isn't just something that you master in a matter of weeks. It takes years. You know, any of these ground arts, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, these are things that take decades to master. And yes, Floyd is a master in boxing, but as we've seen a lot of times, you need a lot more than only boxing to not just win, but survive in the cage. So all this stuff about Floyd, I kind of look at as silly. You know, I think my feelings about Conor and all of that, I think, you know, unfortunately, they turned out to be kind of true. While everyone salivated over the Conor-Floyd boxing fight, I was kind of nervous that might put the skids on Conor's MMA career, which at this point we've seen it very much has. Floyd coming in to fight for the UFC as a sideshow, I kind of put it up there with CM Punk. Will I watch? Of course. But I mean, this is nothing more. Like, don't be fooled. This is no more than a sideshow. And you know, those saying that it takes eyes away from the actual skilled fighters and those young fighters that need attention probably don't understand how business works, because this is going to bring in money. This is going to help the sport. This, in, you know, in the long-term view, will do nothing but help the rest of the fighters in the UFC by bringing more eyes to it. It doesn't, you know, this... Don't be fooled. Don't think you're, you know, watching. If we do see Floyd versus CM Punk, you know, neither of these guys will touch anyone in the top 50 of their respective divisions, which I guess, I don't know where they would fight. Floyd, his whole career has been around 145, 150, and CM Punk had to cut to make 170, so I don't know if Floyd would move up to 70. I don't think CM Punk could cut to 55 when they do a catch weight. We would see. All of this is speculation at this point, and in my eyes, it's kind of silly, but I mean, hey, that's what people are talking about, P-Money. What are your thoughts? Floyd Mayweather versus CM Punk. All of a sudden, I've turned into Howard Cosell.
Jake, I love your quick transitions there. As far as CM Punk and Floyd Mayweather is concerned, that sounds like an atrocious piece of hot garbage of a match. Neither of them deserve to be in the octagon. Floyd Mayweather can only get a pass because of his extensive combat sports experience. You know, I give him a pass just like I gave James Toney a pass so many years ago when he fought Randy Couture in the UFC. But Floyd Mayweather, being one of the best boxers to have ever boxed, has infinitely more room for credibility making his UFC debut than Phil Brooks, who is some wook that, you know, used to be a professional wrestler who allegedly grappled in jiu-jitsu. Speaking of cans, Phil Brooks, you are a can as far as the MMA game goes. You and Michael Jackson, I want to say, have the same record of 0-1. It's not impressive, and I don't know that he really brings viewers to the UFC. I was skeptical of his signing in the first place. He doesn't even begin to deserve a fight with Floyd Mayweather. If Floyd Mayweather were to get into the octagon, and if Floyd Mayweather were to get in the octagon, if he had any integrity about it whatsoever, he would fight one of the champions at a weight class around what he usually fights at, it either 145 or 155.
Yeah, and there's so many possibilities. I don't know if it's worth, you know, going down every potential avenue with what's going to happen next. And speaking of Conor, Dana White, I believe, said recently that the hope is to have Conor fight in August or September. But yeah, we'll see what happens with Conor. He apparently made $100 million for the Floyd fight, so he's probably in no rush. Other news and notes before we get to UFC London, I'll just run through a slew of them, see if you have comments on anything. UFC Liverpool announced for May 27th at the Echo Arena, and Darren Till will be the main event. Opponent, TBA. Mackenzie Dern versus Amanda Cooper added to UFC 224 in Rio. Hopefully you can't hear it right now, but the neighbors living next door to me sound like they're trying to saw through my wall. Tai Tuivasa versus Andrei Arlovsky, confirmed for UFC 225. Boxer David Woodham dies after being in a coma for 10 months following his Fredericton fight. Really sad news there. Rest in peace. No truth, apparently, to reports of Demetrius Johnson versus Henry Cejudo 2 at UFC 225. Still up in the air. Who is next for either guy? Seems like there were talks for Demetrius Johnson versus TJ Dillashaw. Whether Dillashaw fights next against Johnson or Cody Garbrandt, everything's up in the air. But, you know, these cards are looming, so we should get word, I would think, in the next month. What else going on? Marco Polo Reyes popped by USADA. Tom Breeze versus Dan Kelly added to that UFC Liverpool card I mentioned. Nick Newell, the latest to sign with Dominance MMA. Don't see much more stuff. There's going to be a fun card. I guess it'll be this Saturday. 1FC Iron Will, March 24th. Bibiano Fernandez defending for the 7th time at bantamweight against Martin Nguyen, 10-1, who's trying to become a three-weight champion. Also featuring the 1FC debut of Gary Tonin. So if you're really starving for MMA this weekend, go and check out the alumnus of our old friend Ben Askren. Won championships, the biggest MMA organization over there in Asia. I don't think I have any more. Ed Ruth, speaking of wrestlers who've made it to MMA, Ed Ruth apparently dropping to welterweight, booked for the UFC 196 main card. I don't know if he has an opponent yet. I'm pulling up the story now. Yeah, it'll be between Ed Ruth and Laszlo Furko. Ruth 4-0, all fights so far in Bellator. Scary guy. He was very successful as a wrestler. We'll see how he's able to transition over. Any comments on any of those news bits and pieces? We'll call that segment.
No. Rest in peace to the aforementioned boxer who passed away. That is quite sad to hear. You know, we were just talking about the inherent risks and dangers of boxing and the sweet science before we went on air. Always unfortunate to hear about something like that. Couple extra little bits of news pieces, though. Speaking of Pop and Hunt, Augusto Doyer Mendez fails his USADA drug test, pulled from UFC Atlantic City fight. Unfortunate little bit of news there. Another little pop. Brian Barberena is running into Jake Ellenberger at Fight Night 131 in Utica.
Barberena.
Sorry, that was really terrible.
Beautiful. You got chops.
Thank you, Jakey. We got Warley Alves meeting Sultan Aliyev at UFC 224 in Rio. And Frankie Edgar versus Cub Swanson 2, allegedly in the works for UFC in Atlantic City. Oh, and also our boy Sugar Rashad Evans making his return to light heavyweight, taking
right.
on Anthony Smith at UFC 225.
Yeah, excited. I think it was worth trying out, but Evans definitely looks better up at 205. Let's get to this UFC event, UFC Fight Night, Verdum versus Volkov, St. Paddy's Day at the O2 Arena. You know, interestingly enough, I hear St. Paddy's Day really more of an American holiday. I just kind of thought in my head that they did it huge over in Europe, especially in Ireland, stuff like that. I've actually heard of Irish people coming to America for St. Paddy's Day because we, I guess, celebrate it much harder here than they do in Europe. A time to chug down as much green beer as you can. My St. Paddy's Day actually timed out very weird. I was on break at a town seeing friends like the 2 days leading up to St. Paddy's, that Thursday and Friday, and went, you know, buck wild with them. So for me, I was actually rehabbing on St. Paddy's Day, but I'm sure a lot of folks went out. This was an early card. In London, I think the main card popped off at like 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. The prelims, what, probably kicked off in the a.m. for you, Pat, over in Cali?
Yeah, I want to say it was a 10 a.m. start for the prelims for UFC London.
That's rough.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. You know, I've had worse. I want to say the Abu Dhabi card was a little bit rougher, but you know what? Damn it, that's I remember driving to my buddy's pad. It was must have been 6-7 in the morning watching that pay per view. That was good times. You know, for that good MMA, man. It's you know, it ain't nothing. If the card is right, you know, it's like a Japanese New Year's Eve event. You know, it's worth staying up late every now and then.
So that was what, Silva Maya pin Edgar won?
Yes.
Yeah, it's funny. I had planned, because I think that was one of the last events where the UFC tried to do it on pay-per-view on tape delay. And it was live if, like, you found some weird, you know, stream and watched it at the time. But I think the pay-per-view, they tried to do it the normal time on tape delay. And, you know, Penn then still is one of my favorite fighters ever. So I was stoked to watch it. And a buddy of mine said, hey, so I just saw the news on Penn. Do you want a spoiler? And I'm like, did he lose? And he just nodded his head in a very solemn way. And I was just like, dude, what? Frankie, like, it was a terrible way to hear that the title reign was over. And that was, after watching it, a very controversial decision. But that's not the card we're breaking down, Dan. But we'll talk about UFC 112 another day. This is UFC Fight Night. What, one something, UFC Fight Night 127, Verdum versus Volkov. The prelims actually had a lot of interesting results. Dmitry Sosnovsky defeating Mark Godbeer via second round rear naked choke. Cajun Johnson over Stevie Ray by split decision. Paul Craig getting a third round triangle choke with 1 second left in the fight. Danny Henry, a big underdog against Hakeem Dawodu. Sorry if I mispronounced the shit out of that, via first round guillotine choke just like 39 seconds in. Danny Roberts over Oliver Enkamp, first round KO, and another first round finish. This one, Charles Byrd getting the rear naked choke over John Phillips. I did watch the highlights of the prelims. To be honest with you, I did go back and watch the main card, but I was in rehab and not I wasn't actually in a rehabilitation facility, but I was I was sleeping in and taking it easy after a couple rough nights out with my buds. So yeah, I didn't catch all of these live, although I wish I had, because we had of these six fights, five of them were finishes, some first round finishes. You gotta love those fights where it ends with 1 second left. I think Paul Craig got a performance of the night bonus for that triangle choke as time expired. Anything you got for the prelims?
Oh yeah, the prelims were quite excellent. I feel like I almost enjoyed them a little bit more for UFC London than I did the main card. I mean, it was some good action overall. I mean, 7 out of 10 fights ended in a finish. Two of those finishes at the very last second. And so that kind of gave the illusion of some longer fights there. But some good first-round finishes. Danny Roberts over Oliver Enkamp and Danny Henry over Hakeem Dawodu. Paul Craig, also a huge underdog in his own right against Magomed, Ankalev, gee whiz, we're just butchering names tonight. Big underdog there, got the last second submission there. Cajun Johnson taking the split over Stephen Ray. Good scraps overall on the prelims.
And I mentioned the Paul Craig finish with 1 second left. That wasn't the only fight that ended 4 minutes and 59 seconds into the third round. Leon Edwards getting a TKO as time expired against Peter Sobotta, and afterwards had a pretty notable speech calling himself the greatest welterweight out of the UK, challenging Darren Till. I don't know if I would necessarily put him up there with Darren Till, but Leon Edwards looked very impressive. I definitely think he should get a step up in opponent, because he showed that he might deserve to be ranked there at 170. We'll see. Tom Duquesnoy beating Tarion Ware via unanimous decision. That fight kind of went the way I think most of us expected. And Jan Blachowicz and Jimmy Manoa in what was deemed fight of the night, both men getting $50,000 for their performance. Jan Blachowicz winning the unanimous nod, 29-28, 29-28, 32-27 there. Thoughts on those fights before we get to the fight most we're talking about, Volkov-Verdum, that main event?
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? I don't know if it was just the length of the fight card overall. I'm not sure. I mean, it was a good card. I don't know. As I'm sitting here reliving it, going to recap it, I mean, there were some good scraps on the main card, too. Leon Edwards versus Peter Sobotta. Peter Sobotta had his moments in the first round, but Leon Edwards, he was able to just outpoint him everywhere the fight went. For the duration of the fight, and I thought that it was going to a decision, and then out of nowhere, last second of the round, Leon Edwards was able to force the TKO stoppage. Good showing for him. Sobotta had been looking good in his second run in the UFC. Leon Edwards, though, man, he's got a lot of momentum right now. I loved his call out of Darren Till. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that booking, actually. I mean, a UK guy versus a UK guy, both streaking at 170 pounds. I mean, hey, they need a main event. I think it sounds fairly reasonable, actually. And, you know, good on Edwards to capitalize that moment. I feel like Tom Duquesnoy versus Tarion Ware, that went to the decision, not quite as emphatic as I would have liked for Tom Duquesnoy. I feel like that was a very close fight, and that, I mean, for me, kind of could have gone either way. I know there were definitely some media that were split on that fight as well. Yeah, surprised that didn't go to a split, but, yeah, tough draw for Tarion Ware. I thought he had a decent showing of it there, and Tom Duquesnoy comes out with the victory there. Jimmy Manoa versus Jan Blachowicz there. I thought that Manoa was going to take it again. You know, it's very rare that I pick against the guy that won in the first fight. And I did not do that here because I thought Jimmy Manoa was going to win again. But Jan Blachowicz, he looked really good throughout this fight. Had Manoa hurt early. He ate some good shots himself. Didn't take a ton of damage. He had a you know, he was wearing it a little bit, Jan Blachowicz, at the end of that fight. But, man, he put it on Jimmy Manoa with some good hands, really busted him up. It was a very solid performance for Jan, and he was saying he was very much open to the rubber match. Good sportsmanship, I would say, you know, offering that up for Jimmy, who you would think at this point would certainly be open to that himself. Both guys wanted to make it definitive and get that 2-1 edge, I would imagine, in the series between each other. But let's see how that goes. That one just finished, and it was a great one. A fine rematch there.
And then we go to the main event, Fabricio Werdum fighting Alexander Volkov. Going into the first round, I actually had Werdum up 2-1. I thought Werdum won the first two rounds. He was landing the second round, opened a big cut up on Volkov's forehead, covering his face in blood. He landed some trips in the first round. You know, I think at one point early in the fight, had Volkov in a can opener, was landing Volkov kind of turned that momentum in the third round and in the fourth round early on, just was not fucking around. I believe the fight getting finished 98 seconds into that fourth round. And for Doom has done this before. When he gets himself in trouble, it's usually because of him fighting too aggressively. Right here, he started swinging and he left himself open to some uppercuts that put him on roller skates. And then I believe it was another pair of punches that ended the fight as UFC champ. Which this is Fabricio Werdum. He beat Fedor in or around his prime. He beat Kane in and around his prime. This is one of the best heavyweights of all time. We might, you know, this might be the beginning of the final chapter of his career here, not taking away anything from Volkov, which I'm thrilled to see Volkov win. Nothing against Werdum, but just for the fact that it's new blood in a heavyweight division that I think desperately needs it. I think maybe more than any other division. I mean, you have 125, which they have talent. Just the champion is so dominant, he makes it look like they don't have talent. And then there's the women's 145, which can't seem to find anyone to sign up to take on the champ Cyborg. But really, you have a heavyweight division that its really only knock is you see the same guys floating around. Andrei Arlovsky, Fabricio Werdum, Alistair Overeem, Mark Hunt. These guys who have been around for a long time. And now we're starting to see some new blood. Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes, Alexander Volkov. It's exciting. I think it is something that UFC heavyweight division desperately needed. And Alex Volkov getting the huge dub, probably the biggest dub of his career, definitely the biggest dub of his UFC career, getting that win against Fabricio Werdum. Pat, what'd you make of the fight?
Jake, this was a fantastic heavyweight scrap. Ooh, we talk about a big dub for Ooh-wee. Volkov. That is for sure. It's definitely the biggest one of his career. Great back and forth. Werdum came out. What's almost kind of been his characteristic as of late, he's bum rushing people. You know, he's really had a renaissance in his fighting style in the last couple years with his evolution in striking and just, you know, some fights we see him bum rushing his opponents like he did to Travis Brown, repeatedly did that to Volkov and had some success with it, especially early. He must have had Volkov on his back in the first 20 seconds of that match. I mean, it really looked like it was going to be a bad night at the office for Volkov. And it certainly was a difficult one, but, I mean, you have to give him his credit. He survived every attempt from Fabricio, displayed some great grappling. I mean, I thought his long limbs, you know, those can either be an asset or a liability, really. And it turns out, you know, he was really using his leverage well and was able to get a lot of great escapes and able to negate Fabricio's great groundwork, was able to get back to his feet many times. And ultimately, that was what ended up getting him the fight. As the fight wore on, he was getting a little bit better with his takedown defense, was really staying on top of Werdum, not giving him much room, letting Werdum stand back up to his feet as opposed to engaging him in the guard. And eventually, he put those hands together. He hit him with what looked like a big uppercut that seemed to do some big damage to his right eye there, and then just continued on with the combo and ended up just knocking Werdum clean out in the fourth round. I was pretty pleased, Jake. I was very stoked watching this. As you mentioned, I mean, Werdum, he's been one of the highest caliber heavyweights in the UFC and in all of mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu for years and years, well over a decade now. And he's been fun to watch over time. But, you know, Volkov 29, some new blood in the mix. Good to see him getting that the momentum on his side, getting the biggest win in his UFC career, undefeated in his UFC career thus far. I mean, this kid definitely has a seemingly very big ceiling for him, for himself. And, yeah, you know, Verdum, he'd been getting really unlikable as of late, I feel like. You know, not just that stupid smirk he'd been doing, but, you know, the homophobic comments and giving money to super questionable political groups and things like that. And, I mean, I'm not saying that anybody deserves anything like that, but I'm just saying it was, you know, assaulting people with boomerangs and things like that when they weigh 100 pounds less than you. But, yeah, anyways, it was particularly satisfying to watch on my end. I really enjoyed that, actually. It was fun. Good performance from Volkov. Big thumbs up.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the sentiment there. You know, he got in with it with Covington, obviously. I think didn't he also get into it with Tony Ferguson at some UFC press event, which it's like, you're a heavyweight, dude. Why are you mixing it up with lightweights and welterweights? You mentioned some of the other things. I don't necessarily dislike the guy, but I am a big Volkov fan. It was nice to see him get that W, like I mentioned. Quick programming note, this being the MMA Podcast episode 223, we will be back with 224, but probably not next week. Probably going to take next week, the final week of March off. Frankly, for two reasons. One, it'll be that Good Friday, Easter weekend, probably going to be on the road. And two, I don't know if, frankly, we'd have much to talk about. There was that 1FC event I mentioned, but the UFC not going to be back until UFC 223, April 7th. April's going to be a big month, probably not going to take any weeks off in April. We have UFC 223, Ferguson and Khabib from the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. That's April 7th. 1 week later, Poirier versus Gaethje in Glendale, Arizona. That UFC on Fox card is gonna be lit. UFC Fight Night Barboza versus Lee from Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City is gonna be the following Saturday, and the Saturday after that, Bellator 198, Fedor versus Mir going down in Chicago. We might be, a few months ago we got in talks with Bellator, might be trying to get a press credential to that, like we did with Glory. Definitely, we'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter at the MMA Podcast. Might be going regardless, but yeah, threw our name in the hat for a press credential there. And I don't know if they're smart, they probably won't give us one, but who knows? Maybe they do. So yeah, that'll be a busy April, and then of course in May, June, July, gonna be a ton of cards. Man, I am salivating just thinking of that UFC 226 card, Miocic versus Cormier. Other fights rumored, like Johnson versus Dillashaw, Ortega versus Holloway. We will see how crazy that fight ends up, but it will be main evented by Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. Huge super fight there. Pat, you're on Twitter at Sweet Pappy Jones. Anything for the people before we let him go?
Jake, you know what it is. It's nothing but love for the people. Always appreciate them tuning in, listening to us on the MMA Podcast. It's been a great episode 223, Jake. Always a pleasure chopping it up with you. Little hiatus, as you mentioned, next week, but looking forward to getting back into it with you the following week. And previewing UFC 223.
Hell yeah, Pat, a belated happy birthday to you. I'm glad you had a good one.
Bless your heart, Jake.
Hey, and couldn't ask for a better co-host to be doing it with, and I couldn't ask for better listeners to be listening to the show. We'll be back, not next week, but the week after, preview that huge fight coming with UFC 223 Ferguson and Khabib, along with the rest of that stacked card. Looking forward to that one. Thanks for listening again. And I guess until then, we love you. We gone.